So we start a new book today, Sefer Devarim. And as a book, it's not all that easy. Maybe for a lot of you it's easy, but it's not all that easy. And again, if you want to take this seriously, then I suggest you take a piece of paper, you take a pen, that's something which is like back from the 80s. You just chart out the speech or the series of speeches and the content and try to follow the flow of what's going on. And it's not going to be all that simple. I'm going to, for the most part, limit myself today to the first chapter, and for that matter, maybe even for the first five verses, although I have a lot more of them here in front of us. So let's begin. Eileh HaDvarim, and that's how it got its name. Eileh HaDvarim asher diber Moshe al kol Yisrael be'ever ha'yardin b'midbar ba'arava mulsuf bein paran bein tov levan v'chatzirot b'dei zahav, which are lots and lots of words and lots of places, and we're completely confounded by what exactly it's telling us. But the main thing is be'ever ha'yardin. That's really the main point. Moshe, and that's as far as Moshe gets. That's where he gets off the bus. I mean, Moshe's there be'ever ha'yardin. And Rashi, and quoting tradition, sees hints within all of these words and places. But over here we have a really important statement. You know, when we left Egypt, we were supposed to be going to Israel. And then there was a stop along the way. And that stop was by Sinai. And we ended up spending much too much time by Sinai. But the traveling itself from Sinai was only supposed to be, after we get there, and the quick stop, was supposed to be an 11-day stop till Kadesh Barnea. Now, of course, the question then will be, so what happened by Kadesh Barnea? And hopefully some of you remember that, but over here the Torah doesn't tell us. But I'm sure the people in the audience that Moshe is speaking to know. And again, so it's giving us place, it's giving us some kind of a time reference, although it's not clear yet. Now in the 40th year, so Moshe spoke as God had commanded. So therefore, if we have some kind of intrigue, what is the content over here going to be based on? Moshe is speaking, but it's based upon what God has instructed. And then again, it gives us more content, or context, sorry. So what we have over here is a really long introduction, and let's admit it, I already lost you in the introduction. We buy the Aver HaYarden twice. Part of this, again, is to tell us when, part of it is to tell us where. But what I want you to note is two things. One is what I already said, is that Moshe spoke k'chol asher tziva Hashem oto aleihem, regarding everything that God had commanded. Okay, content. Second is it says that Moshe starts to do this. That's verse 5, pasuk hey. Be'evah yardin beretz Moav, ho'il Moshe, which we can translate as Moshe began. We're going to make this simple. Moshe began. Be'eret ha'Torah hazot lemor. He began to explain this Torah, saying what most of us would then suspect should come next should be some type of law or series of laws. And we have lots of laws, lots of great laws, and there's a lot that could have come next. But instead what happens is Hashem Elokim diberi leinu b'chor of lemor, rav lachem shevet bahar hazeh. You know, God said, you know, you guys have been staying here too long. You stayed in Sinai too long, which means we sort of just made a shift. Instead of explaining the Torah, or maybe we need to re-understand what explaining the Torah means, if we'll just pause here for a second, and we'll look, for example, at source number 2, which is the Targum Onkelos. It says, Pirish yat ulpan oraita hadalameimar. No, that may not have been helpful to you. Those of you who ever wondered where the word ulpana comes from, so this is where it comes from. And look at the Targum, which is the Suda Yonatan, and it's 3. It's the same word, but a different form of it. Shuri Moshe Lemalfa Yat Pitgami Araita, or the Hebrew translation back of the Yonatan is Lelameda Divrei HaTorah. And Ulpana is a place that you learn Torah. So this one, Ulpan Oraita, he began to teach Torah. Rashi Ho'il, source 5, Hitchil, began, which is why I translated it as I did. Be'er et ha-Torah, b'shivim lashon pirsha lahem. He explained it to them in 70 languages. Now, this is somewhat confounding. Why in the world Rashi would say this and why this was helpful. You know, for those of you who wanted to learn Chinese, here's your opportunity. We're going to explain this now in Chinese. And this really is difficult. I guess there's really two questions over here. One is why Rashi said this, and two, what does it mean? Why Rashi said this is because he's going off the word be'er. The word be'er is going to be used in another context. So, for example, look at source 16, which is the Malbim. This is just for convenience sake. We're looking over here. And he writes, Hoil Moshe be'er et ha-Torah, shaloshon be'er nimtza b'tanach b'gimel mekomot, b'shnei pamim ba achar k'tiva. V'katavta al havanim, it's called v'rei ha-Torah hazot, be'er heitev. There, by be'er heitev, we're told that it's that this is when they get to Eretz Yisrael, and they write everything on the stones, and there be'er heitev is there is a tradition in 70 languages. So therefore, also the question would be, so for whose purpose? Is that the purpose for the Jews, or the purpose for the locals? So therefore, what did Rashi do? Rashi did be'er, be'er. So for the air, be'er heitev, although you could argue maybe there it's be'er heitev, there it was right and be'er, so here it is also a be'er. So what Rashi did is like, it's there, it's going to be into 70 languages, so here it's 70 languages, but of course we have no idea why it would be necessary to be in 70 languages. If you look at it, if you're ready in 16, then I guess look at 17, then we can say we finished all the sources today. I know we may have skipped all the ones in the middle, but if we look at 17, this is Amek Davar, it's the Netziv. Again, the Netziv is Rosh Hashiva and Volozhin. He's giving his morning Parsha class, which he did. Over here, he's still a Rosh Hashiva of Yeshiva, so he is really involved with what is it that Moshe was teaching at this point. Which is, Moshe's invited to speak to these people and to explain to them, so what is he doing? What's the content of the shir? That's really what he's thinking about. Okay, Moshe had to prepare a shir. What's the shir that he's doing? What's the methodology? What is it that he's teaching? Which means, on the one level, you can tell me that all that Moshe's teaching is, he's just going over words of the Torah. Okay? On the other hand, you can say, hold on, but what about Torah Shebal Peh? Where does that fit in? What about the connection between Torah Shebal Tav and Torah Shebal Peh? And I just now explained to you what it is that the Emek Davar tries to figure out. And he gives us different approaches, one that he doesn't like and one that he likes more. But he notices right away, again, beginning of 17, he quotes Rashi, B'shivim Lashon. V'lamad Rabbeinu Zeh Pirish Medita B'Sota. He knows this because it says in the Gemara Sota, De'ita Be'er Pe'er. So that's what we had just now really had seen from the Malbim, quoting the Gemara that says, oh, there it said Be'er, so here it says Be'er. So therefore, what does it mean that Moshe starts to teach in 70 languages? But again, we're really not understanding this quite well. But by the way, just as an aside, translating the Torah into different languages is A, problematic, and B, problematic. It's problematic in terms of, you know, what right do you, and secondly, it was problematic. It was one of the major attacks against Mendelssohn. What did Mendelssohn do? He translated the Torah. But what was the problem? Is that yeshiva students who knew the Torah very well but didn't know German, they used this as a way of learning German. That was the way to assimilate. Learn Torah in another language. Take a text that you know very, very well, and then take another language that you don't know and start reading it word for word. By the way, I keep saying this again. A lot of you can try to do this with Aramaic, right? You can learn the Targum and learn Aramaic, and suddenly Gemara will become a little bit easier because you'll learn the 200 or so words that the Gemara uses in, or keywords that it uses in Aramaic. So that's why the translation is interesting. Again, when they enter the land of Israel, so we are going to teach monotheism to all of the inhabitants, so therefore there may be a necessity to translate to 7 languages, but why is that necessary right over here? We're on the other side. So therefore, where Rashi, you know, solves a problem by saying, oh, be'er, be'er, quoting the Gemara, and again, Rashi's on very firm ground by quoting the Gemara, in terms of us understanding, yeah, but why? You know, what does this come to do? What's the purpose? What's the objective? We are somewhat mystified. And he continues and he says that Moshe of Ayin Lashon, and it's also in the Midrash that way, Shedem Moshe Torah B'Shivim Lashon, Shenema Be'er. Avu Barur She'ein Zeh Pshat HaMikra. So I hope that you like the Netziv coming and saying that, because someone had to say it. What is it that he said? It's very clear that's not Pshat. Okay, so some people feel uncomfortable saying that about Rashi, the Netziv didn't. I mean, he says it's not pshat. How can you say it's pshat? Ela hakavana shenever darash shahoye gamze bechlal be'er Moshe. He says, no, he had to explain things. It's not just that that it was translated in different languages, the purpose of explanation. Avaloye nitzrech ze ela bishfil umot olam lo b'Yisrael. To translate would have been for the nations of the world, not for the Jews. V'kan igor b'yir ela Yisrael. And over here, the objective is to teach this to the Jews. V'al ze chiyach b'rov dvarim. Ela pirish be'er k'detani b'sifri, be'er et Torah zot. Rather, what does be'er mean? He says, as it's taught in the Sifri. Moshe says, I'm near death. If anybody learned the pasuk and doesn't remember it, come and relearn it. Now's the time. Now's the time to relearn things because Moshe says, I'm going to die soon. Anybody who learned the entire parsha but has forgotten it, come and learn. Now's the time. V'gam tzarech zebir im shachach pasuk o parsha halo sefer Torah menach yavo v'yireh. But then he says, but what does that mean? Come and learn it. They have a Sefer Torah. You can just open up the Torah. What do you need Moshe for just to know what it says in the text? Aval bakdama l'perish ha-mishnayot la-Rambam. He vibrait dezu b'zeh lashon. The Rambam cites this Sifri, and he cites it as follows. Kol she-shachach halacha achad v'yivashena, v'kol yesh lo l'feresh yavov yishenena. Yesh lo l'feresh, which means they understand the ideas behind it. Let them come and teach it. V'gam kam yesh tam adavar, I think that's what that means there, v'tzarech lama v'kol she-shachach parsha achad yavov yishenena, v'mkein tzarech l'pesifri sh'lefenem yishe sh'malacha achad v'shachach. Therefore, he suggests the Sifri should be like the Rambam cites it. And now he explains. V'nyan shnei dver me'ele, that Sifri Sov Vishim Ekfar Lamad Moshe Rabbeinu Yisrael, or maybe it's Limed Moshe Rabbeinu Yisrael, Mikor HaHalacha, Mikrae, V'Dorshei Dekrai LaHalacha. Moshe taught them how to learn. Moshe read the Pasuk, he taught them the Torah Shebal Peh, he showed them how the Torah Shebal Peh is connected to the Torah Shebichtav. El Hashem Nishkach Mi'Halacha Echad Mikora Mitorat Shebichtav. That maybe somebody forgot what the pshat of the Torah Shebichtav is and how this is connected to the Torah Shebal Peh of what we actually do. O mishema parsha achad b'perusha v'diktuta ad al tachlita v'shachach v'yavo yishanein. Somebody forgot the Torah Shebal Peh itself. Come and learn. V'yadua depilpul ha-talmud mikrei shinun. And we know, and so this is really fascinating, because he's basically saying what we do in V'lazhin when we learn is essentially what Moshe was teaching in that last time of his life. He was teaching how to connect Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebe'alpeh. Zodat Sifri. Avalafia Breitish, Mesech Chagiga Vesota, Shen Nishtalesha Torah Barvot Moav, meaning all of this is based upon an assumption, and that is that Moshe had already taught them in the past. He goes, but there is an opinion that Moshe had not taught them yet, the connections of Torah Shebe'alpeh and Torah Shebichtav, until now. They didn't, as of this point, learn the Torah Shebal Peh properly. Ad Shebol Avot Moav, until they got to the plains of Moav. Hachel Moshe Laver Torah Zot. That's what Moshe starts to teach at this point, which means Moshe is teaching what we would call Torah Shebal Peh. Hainu Gama Mikra Bi'er Eich L'daktek Ba'otiyot L'darshan. He taught them how to read the Chumash and how to understand the words and how to read between the lines. Gam b'makor halachot v'mishnayot shlamdan ad ko bi'er heichem nindubim min haTorah. And moreover, the things, the ideas that he taught independently as laws, now he showed them how those had their roots in the text of the Torah itself. U'miyatin avol l'lashon ho'il Moshe. And therefore this turn of phrase, or ho'il, we translated as began, t'pirish Rashi v'hum yisifri d'hu l'lashon hatchala. If that's the case, now Moshe began. That goes according to the second approach, as he said, that which was found in the Gemara. Now Moshe begins to teach them the Torah Shebaal Peh, how it's connected to Torah Shebichtav. And now Moshe began to keep his obligation. And according to the Sifri that he already taught this once before, and he's just fixing it, hapirish ho'il. What does then ho'il mean, according to this? Hachil lizarzam shlo yehenishkach mehem v'yosifu lekach. rather that they internalize it deeply and they don't forget what they already had learned. And really, this would be some kind of a repetition, by the way. That fits in much better with Mishneh Torah, with the repetition of the Torah, or for some of you, Deuteronomy would be the repetition. But it's interesting to the extent that the Netziv over here, A, has taken it into the Beit Midrash, and B, his major focus over here is on Torah Shebaal Peh. And as much as, I hope, again, you appreciate in the very beginning, is that, oh, Rashi said it's the 70 languages, and that's not pshat. And is what the Netziv just now said pshat? Okay, you're all afraid to answer. So that's good. It's good. The Haktava Kabbalah, I'm sure if he were here right now, would be quite upset with me, but he says something very cute. I don't know if you're allowed to say that. This is in Source 14. And he tries to reconcile Rashi with what you just now saw as the approach of the Netziv. It wasn't that he was trying to fit it in with the Netziv as much as the Netziv is coming from tradition as well. So what does this mean, the 70 languages? And he writes, B'yerta Torah, Lashon Rashi, Mirabotenu, B'shivim Lashon Pirusha. And he stresses, it's not Rashi. Rashi is saying this from the Gemara. Ein kavanatam al lishonot shar ha'amim. 70 over here doesn't mean the languages of the world, of the other nations. Otherwise, he could have said the 70 languages. That's not what it means. Ki ma to'elet lahem l'Yisrael mizeh. Because what would this have helped the Jews right now to learn this in all languages? V'gam l'rotein l'shonu el l'shonam l'dura b'svata uma acheret. אבל דרך רבותינו לקרוא הכוונה והמכוון במאמר במעט לשון. Sometimes deeper understanding is used, the word or the term which is used is לשון. כאמרם, and he brings a Gemara. אם מתי שתי לשונות במשמעות, זה לא אומר שתי כוונות. שתי לשונות is שתי כוונות. Which means that sometimes you say, oh, there's two different understandings here. You say two lashonot, not two languages, but two different levels or types of understanding. V'chein kan, b'shivim lashonot, ratzalom b'shivim kavanot. Exactly. And therefore he says, this is, that's the next line. B'sakeim im ma'amaram, and this fits into the teaching that says, makor acher shivim panim l'torah. So here's a source for the 70, meaning that's what Rashi was saying, is therefore not that Moshe taught, I don't know, you want to say this, horizontal versus vertical. It's not that he taught 70 different ways. No, he taught 70 different ideas, which probably would be depth. They're not just 70 languages, we'll put it that way. The same thing in 70 languages, but rather he taught this in different ideas. And the rest of this will go in this approach as well, that there's deeper and deeper understanding. There may be one more teaching which will fall into this line. Look at the Rabbeinu Bachaye in Source 12. Ha'wil Moshe be'eret ha'Torah hazot. Adat ha'pshat. I mean, those of you who never really learned the Rabbeinu Bachaye, it is one of the interesting commentaries, and he's very self-aware. Most of the core of what he does is a restatement and explanation of the Ramban. So this is like one of these rules that we have, one of our unwritten rules, that if we have difficulty with Ramban, you look in the Rabbeinu Bachaye. Okay? That's one of the places that you look, and he tends to explain it. If it's a mystical part of the Ramban, then you look at the Rakanati, or you look at some of the other commentaries. Rabbeinu Bachaye will tell us, okay, this is Al-Pi HaMidrash, and this is Al-Pi HaPshad, and this is Al-Pi HaSod sometimes. Over here, pshat, which is really what we're trying to get to, and he says, "Ratzam Moshe l'ver lehem ata b'shnat arba'im kol mitzvot v'ikara Torah zot shehi aseret hadibrot." And the main part of what Moshe needs to teach is aseret hadibrot. Now, I just want to pause there for a second because we're going to come back to this. If Moshe is going to go back and teach the entire Torah to the people, so one of the main things that we would expect him to teach would be the aseret hadibrot, which means we're sort of waiting for the aseret hadibrot to show up over here. You're going to have to wait a little bit. It's not coming so quickly, but that's part of what we're waiting for. So let's pause with that for a moment. Again, the tension is a tension throughout Sefer Devarim. As much as we call it Deuteronomy, as much as we call it Mishneh Torah, the repetition, how much is really being repeated? How much is new? How much have we heard before? How much is law? How much is narrative? Okay, so these are the things which we need to consider. And over here it says that Moshe explains. Where does he explain? Where are we standing? Where's the place? He said it twice already. Be'arvot Moav. So we stand by Moav, and look what he does. Rutzim Moshe l'va'erta lehem ata bishnat arbiim kol mitzvot v'ikar Torah zot shehi aseret hadibrot. So now we know, okay, that's what this is about. The only problem is going to be, it's going to take us a long time to get there. Ulefi shavot shem'u otam mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu, chazar Moshe v'shmi'am levanim v'shmu otam mipiv. And because the last generation heard it directly from God, so Moshe's now going to repeat it. V'yafa pi shekvar yadu zem mipi avoteim, v'haminu bahem, hinei nevuat Moshe mevoeret etzlam, u'muchzeket b'eineim, u'mashe yishmu mipiv, ki'ilu shemu mipi elyon. Now Moshe's going to repeat it, because for Moshe, the prophet, Moshe, the great Moshe Rabbeinu, to say it to them is, I'll say this, bezir anpin, the English doesn't work. If you need an English term for that, then the word will be microcosm, but it doesn't work. It's bezir anpin, hearing Moshe Rabbeinu speak is like hearing God speak at Sinai. Now you're going to say, no, it's not like God speaking at Sinai. But that's why I said bezir anpin. It's like in bezir anpin means like a, literally it's a little face. It means it's a little, it's feeling an incredible prophetic religious experience. If again, if we would have Moshe Rabbeinu in the room, Moshe was speaking, that would be, you know, beyond our imagination. But that's what he's saying. He's saying is that the experience that they're going to have of Moshe speaking is going to be this experience of somehow filling in what their parents had had, the experience that God had spoken to them. Now, what you wanted to say is that we're taught that the Shechina midaberet mitoch grono, right? Which is a phrase which is very, very popular in the 17th, 18th, and 19th centuries.
That's when I was.
That's when you lived. That's when you learned. That's when I went to school.
And that's what I forgot.
And maybe the early, maybe the 20th century. That was very, very popular. And where exactly it comes from is interesting. I think I have a long footnote on this someplace. Anyway, but correct. But he then says the next line, the al derech hamidrash. See again, self awareness. What's really taking place over here? Moshe is speaking in order to replicate somehow Matan Torah. But al pi hamidrash be'eretz Moav hoi Moshe be'eretz haTorah hazot leimor haTorah nidreshet b'mem tet panim. So you know some of you the shivim panim laTorah, or the Torah is explained in 49 levels. So he knows something that you don't know, and what is that? That Moav in gematria is 49, and that's why it's specifically here b'avot Moav that Moshe teaches the Torah in 49 levels. Mem tet panim tahor u'mem tet panim tameh kiminyan Moav. That actually he just got up to 98. That Moshe taught each law, this is based upon a Midrash in Tehillim, and there may be Yerushalmi that says almost this, but I think the opposite. But it says that it was taught with 49 levels of understanding of each thing, why everything would be allowed, and also 49 levels why something would not be allowed. And therefore, where do we get the number 49 from? Oh, that's where, that's Moav. So the same way that we had the Be'er with the Shivim Lishonot and the Shivim Panim, you see over here the Rebbeinu B'chayi coming back to the 49. Okay, was all of this helpful to us? Yeah, well, partially it's helpful because we got stuck on this word Be'er. But we still have trouble. What is our trouble? I know you feel you don't have trouble. I have trouble. Let's go back and take a look now at source number one. So we got up to Pasuk Hey. So Moshe starts to explain. I want to read it again. Be'evor Yarden, Be'eretz Moav, Ho'il Moshe, Be'eretz Torah Hazot, Leimor. So what does the word Leimor mean? Leimor is transmitive. Excuse me. Lemar. And again, I'm repeating myself. I think it's the fourth time I'm saying it. Kol asher tziva Hashem oto. This is what God had said. Lemar. Moshe starts to explain. He's explaining the Torah. Now, my only problem is, so where exactly do we get the Torah here? Because now we get a story. Hashem lokinu deberi lenu b'chorev lemar, rav lachem shevet b'har hazeh. You know, God said to you by Chorev, you guys have been here too long. That is such a difficult sentence. You guys been here too long. Do you know why they've been here too long?
The ego.
The ego. See that? You're already learning how to read between the lines. No, you moved back to. No, but you just now read between the lines, which is part of what you know the Tzivi is saying that they needed to do. That yeah, there was an eagle over there. Pnu su lachem uvo haremori. You know, go turn and start to travel to the Har Meriv, al kol shchenav, ba'arava, ba'har, uv'shvela, uv'negu, v'chof hayam, eretz hakaniyah, v'lavanon, al nar hagadol, nahar prat. Again, this whole list of places, essentially, we have this confusion, at least in our minds. That's why I said you have to take a piece of paper and you have to chart this out, exactly what we're being told over here. Because we have this perspective of where Moshe is speaking, we have this perspective of where the talk is beginning and what it is that he starts to tell them. And then Moshe says, or he's told to say, Pasachet, Reina tatil tzechem et ha'aretz. Bo reshua ta'aretz, ha'shenishba ha'shem lovtechem, la'avron l'tzuk l'yakov, l'teit lehem l'zarem achareyem. Go the land of Israel. So it's very interesting. Actually, now if somebody would ask you, so what is the first mitzvah in Sefer Devarim? So on the one hand, you could say that the mitzvah is maybe has to do with Limud Torah that Moshe is instructed to teach. But the first thing that he teaches is Yishuv Eretz Israel. Okay? And saying, you've been here too long. What's between the lines there? You've been here too long. So one is that you focused on, you've been here too long. Well, why you've been here too long? What went wrong that you've been here too long? The other part of this should be, well, where were you supposed to be? If you weren't supposed to be over here, where were you supposed to be? And that answer is, well, you weren't supposed to be here. That's hint number one. You were actually supposed to be someplace else. And that is the land of Israel. Now, by the way, if this surprises you, wow, what an interesting thing. The Zionists got to this. I mean, they got to a lot of places, okay? They got to a lot of verses. I suspect some of you that are sitting here are aware of this, okay? We know a couple who both converted, and they lived in Montreal. And when they converted, they ended up moving towards the ultra-Orthodox community there. You know, they thought, this is proper Judaism, this is where we live, and so on. And then they made the unfortunate mistake of reading Tanakh. Right, you're not supposed to read Tanakh. It's one of these things you're not supposed to read because it's full of very, very problematic ideas. And they turned to some of their teachers in this Haredi community in Montreal and said, you know, keeps talking about going to the land of Israel. Why do we live here? And nobody could answer them. So they said, okay, and they picked up and they moved to Israel. They just could not figure out, how can you read Tanakh and get to this conclusion? Well, that's a good place that we start. This story, you know, you really should be in the land of Israel. By the way, if anybody's listening and, you know, there's someplace else, I don't want you to feel uncomfortable, especially during the 9 days, you know, and, you know, yeah, just wherever you are, I'm sure is good. Because otherwise you may have to, like, fast on Tisha B'Av and realize, okay, anyway, let's continue. I will try to behave. I know some of you don't believe that. Well said. Okay. Pasuk Ted. Va'omer lechem be'eit tahi. Now, again, I do have a problem. We would have thought, and we already saw a great idea, teach the Sarat HaDibrot. Okay? That's... And Moshe sort of is... What happened to the Sarat HaDibrot? That would have been a really good idea to start speaking. If you look at the Sforno in Source 10, look at the Sforno where it's underlined. Ho'il v'er ma'asha chashav shi'ipol bo safek achrei moto. Moshe started teaching because he thought there may be some confusion after he dies. V'tchil b'yob m'ro ko b'mar kach Hashem l'kev k'kuret yomenu brit. And where did Moshe begin his story? Well, God made a covenant with you. B'chorev, et chorev, and laholon hey bet. And he said, you know, that begins in chapter 5. I don't want to read anything else in the Sforno right now. He goes, well, Moshe starts to do this in chapter 5, which leaves us with one little question. So who's sticking 5 chapters over here if Moshe's going to start doing what he was told to do in chapter 5? So, again, I hope you realize that's a little strange. The Al-Sheikh is going to do something very similar. And he just goes, oh, take a look. He starts to do this in chapter 11. Perek Yud Aleph is where he starts to fulfill this and start to teach the things that he was supposed to teach over here. Perek Yud Aleph is Vayorim Shemoa and a couple of other things over there. This is just so interesting because what they really have is the same problem that we have. The problem that we have, if you don't know that we have a problem, is that Moshe is teaching Torah, but he forgot to teach Torah. And if you now just want to continue our story and what Moshe starts Leva'er to Torah Lamor, and what does he do? Okay, you guys spend too much time by this mountain. Continues, and he says, you know, you're supposed to go to the land. And then Pasuk Ted, and V'yom Aleichem Be'etah Hilimor, Lo Chalav Adila Seitatchem. I just can't do this by myself. Hashem Elokeichem birbeitchem v'nechem hayom kechofei Hashemayim l'rov. You've become like the stars in the sky, which we always wondered, did that promise ever come true? And Moshe says, yeah, that promise came true. The promise to Avram. Look how numerous you are. One person can't do this. Hashem Elokei Avotechem Yosef Aleichem Kachem Elef Pamim. And may God bless you, and may you become numerous, you know, how many times over. I hope you all saw that very moving picture yesterday from the Holocaust survivor, who was 104, 105 years old, who was a victim of Mengele, who asked all of her descendants to come for a picture by the Kotel. Over here it says, and may be blessed 1,000 times over. May you be blessed. But still, Moshe, but this is a little hard. This is a little hard for one guy to do this. Eicha esa levadi. How can I do this by myself? Terchem u'masachem v'rivchem. Havu lechem anashim chachamim nevanim nedivim l'shevteichem v'asimem b'roshechem. You know, we need to, what's the word? Delegate. Yes? Any of you very good at delegating? Yes? You're hired. We need to delegate. So now, I think last year or 2 years ago, I don't remember, I tried to figure out when this was. Are we talking about the events of Parshat Yitro? Are we talking about the events in Parshat Bahalotcha? Which time was this that Moshe is delegating? And I ended up to the conclusion that it sounded like it was both of them. There was some overlap. I ended up with a confusion, right? That it was both of them, because it wasn't so simple. V'ta'anuoti v'tomru. This is the line I think I'd always missed. V'tanuoti. What does that mean? Yeah, you responded. V'tomru tova devar shedibar t'lasot. Yeah, this is a good idea. Which I don't recall that in real time. The people acquiescing and saying, okay, this sounds like a good idea, this idea of delegating, and therefore other people will have leadership positions. The reason why this is interesting is because of what happens next. So first we're going to get confused again because we're not going to notice what happens next. But let's read this. So now we're going to delegate. So who are the people going to be choosing? Chosen, that's a word, right? Chosen. Who are going to be these people? V'ekach et roshei shivtechem, so leaders of tribes, anashim chachamim v'yiduim, v'teinotam roshim aleichem. We're going to take these people, leaders, wise, well-known, and going to put them in charge of you. Sarei alafim v'sarei mayot, sarim chamishim v'sarei asarot, v'shotrim l'shivtechem. So we're going to create a system whereby there's not one person and then 600,000 people. There's going to be a lot of people going to be in charge of greater amounts, smaller amounts, and so on. But Tzavet Shoftechem Be'etahi Lemar, and I ordered the judges, which is interesting, because were we talking about a military division or were we talking about a judicial? So now it just now moved to the judicial, because we weren't sure about that first time that we had heard that. Lemar, Shemoa Ben Achechem, Ushaftechem, Ushaftetem, Ushaftem, sorry. I'm going to have to go up to a bigger font, I think. Ushaftetem, I can't see any of the things anymore. Tzedek ben ishu ben achiv uben gero. You know, like 20 years ago, it was all like in 10, and then it got to 12, and this is 14 already. So I think we're going up to 16 soon. What's the matter? That I get old makes you feel old? I'm sorry. I think when we start with less sources, I think we use like a 20 font, like 3 sources, and that's it, and we're done. But I'm saying I just can't read these anymore. But he says you're gonna judge. You're gonna judge between man and his neighbor. You're gonna serve as judges. And then he says a law. So here we have another law which is introduced. But this law is what I would call incidental. Why is it incidental? Because we went to a story. Moshe can't lead. Moshe said, I can't do everything. You agreed. We delegated. And now the people that are being chosen, hopefully they're competent. Moshe lo takir panim b'mishpat. Don't play favorites. Don't play favorites. Kikaton gadol tishmaun. You know, whether somebody is small or powerful, you got to listen. Lo tagur b'nei ish ki mishpat l'elokim hu. The law is something which belongs to God. You become a partner with God. You're involved in judgment. But if something is difficult, then come over to me. Which means judgment is not simple, Moshe says. I just want to say as an aside, it happens fairly often that somebody will approach me and ask me a question, something having to do with finances, with money, and so this is what happened, and what's the halacha? Right? So what's the answer? See, first of all, the person who's approaching me is the person who I know, and the other person is generally the person I don't know. So right here I fall into this little bit of a problem. What's the other problem? Is that he's telling me both sides. So when he tells me both sides, so A, I know him, you know, could be a student or somebody, and I'm telling me both sides. So I say the same thing. I can't tell you anything. I said, all that I've heard is your side of the story. I said, what if his side of the story is a little different? What if he has a different narrative over here? I can't rule on this. I said, if you both want to come over, you both want to talk, so that's one thing. But I'm saying people do this all the time. And they don't do it from a bad place. You know, I want to know, am I right or am I wrong? Should I pay back or should I not pay back? But I can't tell you if I don't hear somebody else giving me the other side. You're not the only one. And by the way, the same thing is actually also true in relationships. If somebody says, my mother did this and this, and do I have to be nice to her, do I have to do this? So you just now listen to, again, if you're a therapist, that's great, but hopefully the therapist doesn't believe everything they're being told. You only heard one side of things. So it's really interesting that Moshe here is delegated, and Moshe has told them, well, listen, you're going to have to be fair in judgment. So I'm just saying, fair, he's saying, don't play favorites, but it's more than that. It's, you need to hear both sides. They both have to be able to present their case. But the only law which is, as of this point, is introduced is a law which is incidental because Moshe delegated, and now there are other judges which are involved. So hopefully, you know, you're still paying attention to what we're up to. Pasuk Yudchet, Vatzavetchem Beitahi. And now again we have a verse, and I commanded you at that time, it's called Hadvarim Asher Tasun, all the things you should do. Which things are involved in this? Is this the same as Pasuk Hey? Or is this only within the judicial realm? And if now, okay, all these things were, so what are they? Was this a reference to the Seret HaDibrot? Is this a reference to all of Parshat Mishpatim? And I can keep on asking these questions because I don't know the answer. And then we go back. Pasuk Yutet. V'nisa b'chorev. Oh, so now we're back to Chorev again. Right? V'nisa mechorev. We went from Chorev. V'nilechet kol ha-midbar ha-gadol v'hanarahu asher itim derech har-amorik asher tziva Hashem elokeinu otach v'navo ad Kadesh Barnea. And now we're back to Kadesh Barnea, which means you went back to the very beginning over here when the story is told. So now within the narrative, we're being told about how we got to where we had gotten to. Now, those of you who did not recognize Kadesh Barnea, it actually, one of the things when we have our reading of the Torah, one of the things that has to happen is Sefer Devarim or Parshat Devarim needs to be read or Sefer Devarim started before Tisha B'Av. Because this actually repeats one of the events that took place on Tisha B'Av, and that is the Chet HaMeraglim. So right over here it says that, so what happened over here? And again, what is the background of all of this? You spent too much time in Sinai, time to travel, time to go to the land of Israel. And that was said really, really clearly. Why aren't we there yet? Well, we're not there yet because we spent too much time at Sinai. During that time, things became too difficult and Moshe needs delegate. Re'ena tati Hashem elokechem lefanecha ta'aretz ale resh kasher diber Hashem. Ah, you notice? There's a theme over here. This is the second time this was mentioned. What was that? God gave you this land, go and inherit it, as God said. Kasher diber Hashem elokei avotecha lach al tira v'al techat. Which means now we're at Kadesh Barnea, and now Moshe is saying something, and I hope that you find this completely tragic, because Moshe is saying, I mean, again, this has been sent twice already. We spend too much time by Sinai, it's time to already go to the land of Israel, go. We get to Kadesh Barnea, and we travel, we're told 11-day difference, right? We get to it, go, time to enter the land of Israel. That's it. Time to go. Time to enter. What an amazing thing that all the Jews could have gone to Israel. Sort of like today. But there's always technicalities. Pasuk Kaf Bet. Vatikravune like kulchem vatomru nishlacha anashim lefanenu. Why don't we send people before us? Vichperu lanu et haaretz v'yashivu otanu davar et haderech asher na'aleba v'tarim asher navo alehem. They'll tell us about the path that we should take and about the place that we're supposed to go to. And this idea, I thought, was a good idea. V'kach mikem shneim asar nashim isha chad l'shevet, and 12 people were chosen. What I hope you notice, because I really did focus this, and I said it really loudly, but it could be I didn't say it clearly, that there's a really interesting parallel that just took place. Did you notice the parallel? Moshe says, I can't do this by myself, and then he delegates to get people, and says the people approved. And now the people come and say that, you know, we need to send people, and Moshe approves. It's as if Moshe's actually saying, and you can disagree with me on this, it's as if Moshe's actually saying, I understand that the core of the problem of sending the Meraglim I take responsibility for, because I'm the one who first suggested that we need to delegate and appoint different leaders to have different roles, to do different things, and this was my idea, and you agreed with me, and then you had this idea to send these people, and I agreed with you, but therefore, I think Moshe really is taking responsibility over here for the Chet HaMeraglim in a way that we perhaps had never heard before. And I'm saying this based upon the twist in the narrative over here. I made the suggestion, delegate, other people have jobs, and you basically said the same thing. Although you can all tell me why it's different, and you can say, no, that was judicial, and this is not judicial, maybe this is more military, and so on, and this wasn't necessary. But nonetheless, just let's just think about this again now. We're in Sefer Devarim. In Sefer Devarim, what are we looking for? We're looking for law. Why are we terribly disappointed? Because we can't find any law. Maybe some of you aren't disappointed. You're really happy. Wow, this is great. There's no law over here. What happened to the law? What happened to the repetition of the law? So we saw one commentary says, oh, wait, it's coming. Five chapters down the line, you're going to find some laws. Someone else says, oh, no, chapter 11. And some of you are thinking, chapter 11, that's a whole other story. Chapter 11, that's where you're going to find, you know, what we're referred to over here. So what in the world is going on over here? And more than that, how can Pasuk Hay say, Be'eret Torah zot lemar? Forget about the idea of the 70 and the 70 languages or levels or the 49 or the 98. What is going on over here? Which means what I'm getting to is, instead of telling law, Moshe is telling a story. Now, I think the story is really interesting because, as we pointed out, there may be issues over here of Moshe taking responsibility as well. You know, this didn't happen by itself. But as we continue over here, and again, I'm not going to read all the psukim. You know, at other times we had compared the Chet HaEgel the Chet HaMeraglim as described here, and the Chet HaMeraglim as described back in Shlach. In Pasuk Lamed Dalet, it says, V'yishma Hashem et kol divreichem, v'yiktsof, v'yishava lemor, and God heard your complaints after the people came back and said that these people are not going. Which means Moshe twice, you know, it said, going back in history, why are we still here by Sinai? We shouldn't be here anymore. But again, we read between the lines. There's an issue there. Secondly, we get to Kadesh Barnea, go, let's go to the land of Israel. No, let's wait. You know, we need to make a pilot trip. We need to send some people. We need to check it out. We need to figure out the best way to get there, and so on and so forth. And it's not going to happen. And I just want to point out another really, I think, painful verse. We'll start from Lamed Zayin, but I want to get to Mem. Gam bi yitanaf Hashem biglalchem limor gam atah lo tavo l'sham. And I also suffered from God's anger because of you, and I'm also not going there. Moshe finally says it. The implication of all of these delays is that it's going to come out at the end of the day, and Moshe's not going either. Yeshua ben Nun omed lefenecha, hu yavo shama. He's going to go. V'tapchem asher martim levaziyeh, uvenechem asher lo yodu hayom tov v'ra, him yavo shama. U'lehem enena v'him yereshua. That this whole generation, you know, the whole generation left Egypt is gone, and this is why. V'ata pnu lachem usu hamidbara derech yam suf. Do you notice why that phrase is interesting? Look back at Pasuk Zayin. Pnu usu lachem u har hamori. Turn around and go. So what was that turn around and go? That turn around and go was leave Sinai, go up, enter Israel. And now we've gotten to Kadesh Barnea. V'ata pnu lachem, turn around, usu hamidbara derech yam suf. Turn around and now go south. The first one was turn around and now go north, and this one is turn around and go south. Now, you're not staying here. You're not staying right outside the border of Israel. You're not staying right outside. You're going backward. I mean, this is what's painful, but also you can't read this without realizing the terminology is just so similar. And Pasuk Mem Vav will finish this up for us. Vateshvu b'kadesh Yamim Rabim Ki Yamim Asher Yashavtem. And you spent all this time, which means that, again, 40 years now have transpired, and this is where you are today. So let's have an initial conclusion, or moving towards a conclusion, about, so what's Parsha Dvarim about? If Parsha Dvarim is about repetition of law, well, the only law which is repeated is the law that you should go into the land of Israel. It's time to go. But we have to admit that that's being told within the way of narrative more so than within the way of law itself, and that itself is interesting. So I guess what it comes down to, what is Moshe doing? What is this speech? Those of us who think that all that Moshe was supposed to do is teach them, for example, the Aseret HaDibrot again. Okay, you missed that, let's say that again. Or let's teach them Shema, let's teach them Vayom Shemoah, let's teach them all the mitzvot, all of Kitetzeh and all the lots and lots of mitzvot over there, just teach mitzvot. Well, that's not what it is. There's something else that Moshe thinks is important to do. Now, before I get to what it is that it's important to do, we all understand how he did it. The how, right? There's the how, then there's the why, right? Or the, if you want, what he did, or is he told a story? Sometimes we can teach by telling stories. The question is, what is it that he's teaching? Moshe is not just, first of all, Moshe is not just complaining. He's not saying, well, you know, no. Moshe is teaching something over here. The foundation of what he's teaching, what, again, he points out a couple of things. Actually, if you've noticed it, he really pointed out the two major failings that took place. He pointed out the Cheder Egel, and he pointed out the Cheder Meraglim. Cheder Egel was really subtle. Cheder Meraglim is much stronger. Cheder Egel caused there to be late, to spend too much time by Sinai. Cheder Meraglim caused the whole generation to die. Both of them caused delays. Both of them ended up together causing this generation to be unable to enter, or the generation left Egypt, including Moshe. But what are the sins? I mean, what is the basis of these sins? See, what Moshe's trying to do is to teach them faith, is to teach them to have emunah, is to teach them, it's not just about law. Meaning, the law is a way of accompanying, of accomplishing something. Which is, I can teach davening, you know, you shake like this. You know, like the most important thing is davening. You take three steps forward, you take three steps backward, you have to bow that way, you have to bow that way. And as far as the shuckling goes, there's a meter that we have, you know, on us that basically has electrical currents that tell us how much that you have to shuckle. Is that what davening is? I can even teach you how to pronounce the words properly. Is that what davening is? Which means if you can't break davening down at some point to actually speaking to God and understanding what this means, and understanding the components of praising and sometimes asking and so on, then you really don't know what davening is, which means davening is the experience of davening, and the experience is based upon understanding what this is that I'm standing in front of the King, Creator, and Sustainer of the universe, which means it's not just about the halacha involved of davening. I mean, if somebody, I don't mean to be facetious, but if somebody, the most important thing about davening is we have to put on your jacket and you have to put on your hat, and then you can, and that's, you know, davening, okay, there's a sense of that of standing in front of the King, but you have to know you're standing in front of the King, right? You have to know you're standing in front of the King, and then you have to learn protocol. What do you do when you're standing in front of the King? And how is it that I can always have the sense when I daven that I'm standing in front of the King? Because that's really an overwhelming responsibility. Every single person who davens is a shliach tzibur at that moment. I don't know, I don't want to ruin davening for you, but it's all in the plural. Slach lanu avinu kichatanu. Right? All the davening is in the plural. Every person's davening is a shliach tzibur. You're davening for everybody. That's a great deal of responsibility. But ultimately, it requires an act of faith. The act of faith is, I believe that there is a King, a Creator, Sustainer of the universe, who is standing in front of me, who I can speak to. Which means if I'm missing that point of faith, then all the laws which are involved are not going to do that much because I'm missing that foundation of faith. What Moshe is doing over here is he's trying to create the foundation of faith, which is necessary, which means why are we here today? Well, because there was a crisis of faith. Where was the first crisis of faith? When you decided that it would be a really good idea to make an eagle. So let me just help you on that. That was a really bad idea. That was a crisis of faith, which means the idea of making it and for the need that you felt to make it, the fact that you made it, the fact that you worshipped it, Which means when Moshe says, you know, we spent too much time on this mountain. Of course he spent too much time on this mountain because he messed up because there was a crisis of faith. Over here as well, well, it's time to go to Israel. And Moshe keeps saying that. It's time to go to Israel. And you also, maybe you hear pain in Moshe's voice. Maybe. I also can't go, he says. But if you listen carefully, what Moshe keeps on saying, yeah, it's time to go. And then they have this wonderful idea. Well, maybe I know it's time to go. Go. I mean, just again, you read that description when they get to Kadesh Barnea, Pasuk Kaf Aleph, Re'ei Natan Hashem Lechnecha Ta'aretz Alei Reish Kadirer Hashem Elokei Avotecha Lach Al Tira V'Al Tichad. Don't have fear. Don't have fear. No fear. Right? Moshe should have gotten the right taken out the copyright on that. No fear. Just go. Just do it, right? No fear. That right then is what Moshe says. That's the message over here. The message is that God is with you. Don't be afraid. But they don't feel that. They don't feel that. But, you know, it's that hesitation. But we need to, and maybe something. So meaning everything else is details over here. But this speech, it's not like, whoa, so where's the laws? I keep waiting for the laws. And Moshe's just carrying on and going on. No, this is the key. This is really what this is about. And he keeps reminding them, you should be in the land. You should enter the land. You're going to enter the land. And he keeps coming back to the Rav Sefer Dvarim. You're going to enter the land. You want to stay in the land? You need to do this. And then go through a whole bunch of laws. You want to stay in the land? Really, don't do this because you're not going to be able to stay. This is all about going to the land. That's what this whole book is about. And that's what the whole beginning over here. But it's about faith. It's about belief. It's about knowing that God exists. It's about knowing that God is with us. And ultimately, it's about not being afraid. Let's take a look now again. Let's take a look at Rav Hirsch, source 15, third line. Achadasar haprakim harishonim shel sefer zeh kolalim et nu'umei ha-hakdama. The first 11 chapters, you know, we saw before somebody said chapter, it goes, first 11 chapters are the introduction. Shemoshe patach behem et ha-chazara ala Torah ve'et bi'ur mitzvoteha. It's the introduction before Moshe is going to come and finally get to the laws themselves. That the whole purpose over here is to instill within them faith. Based upon the experiences they went through. This is the mother or the father sitting and saying, listen, I experienced this. This is what happened in my life. These are the mistakes that I made, and this is what we need to learn from it. Because sometimes that's the way you teach. Sometimes that's the way that it becomes real. He continues, Shelo b'chayel v'lo b'koach yinatzeich esratamim v'yichbosh et artzam elarak b'ne'emanut la'Hashem uv'siyat ritzono. It's not about the strong army, and it's not about might. It is about belief and trust in God. That is how we're going to be successful. Which means what Rav Hirsch has, I think, correctly pointed out, and we can argue now, break it, is the first 5 chapters, 6 chapters, 11 chapters. You know, we have certain things like Aseret HaDibrot coming before the 11th chapter. You have Shema coming beforehand, which I think are significant. But the general point is true, is that this is not, he called it an introduction. No, the introduction is part of the story. Emunah is part of the story. Because lack of Emunah is what caused them to be in the destructive or self-destructive situation they were in. The lack of emunah is really what caused the sin of the golden calf. The lack of emunah is what caused the sin of the spies. So where Moshe's going back and telling these stories and telling it the way that he's telling it, it's not just because Moshe sort of lost track of what story he's telling over here. No, he knows exactly what he's telling over here. And the narrative is part of what he's accomplishing, which means when it's, I want to go back to that verse, Pasuk Hey again. Pasuk Hey, what did it say? Be'er et ha-Torah hazot lemor. Explain the Torah. So in the beginning, I was very limited in the way that I explained the word Torah. The word Torah literally means instructions. So does the word Torah in this context mean only, you know, the 300,000 or so letters of the Torah? I mean, are we going to fixate? Does it mean Torah Sheba'al Peh in terms of how it explains Torah Sheba'al Peh like the Netziv had told us? Or is Be'eret HaTorah something much, much broader? Explain the instructions. Explain Jewish existence. explain Judaism or explain Jewish life, explain who we are and who we're supposed to be, explain how we got here and where we're going. That's really it in life, isn't it? How did we get here and where are we going? Do we make mistakes to get where we are today, or do we make good decisions to get where we are today, but where are we supposed to go still? That's what this is. How did we get here and where are we going? That's what this whole speech is. And Moshe points out there's been mistakes along the way. And as I said, I hear Moshe saying, you know, this point, I couldn't do it myself, I had to delegate. I hear Moshe taking responsibility, more so than probably he needed to. But I hear Moshe being an incredible leader over here by saying, yeah, I felt I needed other people, and I was delegating in terms of justicism and so on. And he doesn't blame Yitro, and he doesn't blame anybody else. He says, this was something which needed to be done. He doesn't blame God either. And you easily could have gone to Parsha Yitro and blame Yitro. You easily could have gone to Parsha Badlodcha and blame God. And Moshe says, this is, okay, he's taking responsibility. And I can't help but notice the parallel to that when they come back and say, well, maybe we also need to delegate some people to go and to start this trip to Israel for us, even though this is going to be a terrible decision. And I think what Moshe is really focusing on is that, you know, you do this for strategic purposes, one thing, but what ended up coming out of this, what it brought out was a total lack of faith. There was no faith afterwards, which means, oh, no, we can't do it. What do you mean you can't do it? And again, we keep coming back to this again and again. What did you eat for breakfast this morning? Well, pancakes. Well, actually, it was mun that tasted like pancakes. Oh, you had mun that tasted like pancakes this morning. And where did that come from, right? Like what are you talking? What did you drink? A water. But where? There's been a bear which has been following us along the way. And let me guess. And is there a cloud on top? How do you know that? There's a cloud which is protecting. So what are you talking about? Of course, God is with you, and he's been instilling this within you for 40 years, that God is with you. Now take the next step, and God is going to be with you. Well, at that point, it's before the 40 years, of course. At that point, it's only been for 1 year or so. And at that point, of course, God is with you. But when the spies come back, it's this breakdown of faith. There is no faith. And that's why Moshe has to come back to these stories. We can't have a breakdown of faith. If you believe in God and follow the mitzvot, then things are going to work out. Okay, I just ruined the whole book for you. If you believe in God and follow the mitzvot, you're going to enter the land of Israel and things are going to work out for you. But what did we need to focus on? We need to teach the laws again. But what else do we need to focus on? You need to have faith. How do you get to this message of faith? That's what Moshe is doing right now. So it's interesting, those who notice, the fact that Moshe is speaking to them instills faith. That's true. But it's not just the fact that he's speaking. It's not just, as I said before, the zir anpin. Oh, God had said the Seret HaDibrot. Now Moshe says the Seret HaDibrot. It's not just that. It's that Moshe needs to tell over the story in a way that they're going to understand it, which will itself understand where we'd made mistakes along the way because of a lack of faith and how we desperately need to fix that in order, and again, I'll ruin the book for you, that we can enter the land, live a life based upon the commandments, have faith in God, and live here in peace and harmony.